Good day, friends. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ are on the air once again with a quarter-hour broadcast, this series entitled Precious Passages. We're going to be looking in this series at a number of outstanding passages in both the Old and the New Testaments that can be a benefit to each and every one of us. We want to say at the outset that this program has you and your entire family in mind, and as we often stated to you before, this is not a substitution for church attendance, but it is a spiritual assistant or a spiritual service dedicated to the fact of bringing to you the teaching of God's Word that you as well as ourselves may come to know more about God's marvelous truth. A knowledge of the Bible is an outstanding thing, for the wonderful words of Jesus sound clear in John 8:32 when he said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." On the broadcast today, we're going back into the recesses of the Old Testament, back into the 49th chapter of Genesis, one of the finest settings that we have in the Old Testament Scripture. This is an outstanding prophecy in verse 10 that reads in the following manner, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Here is one of the formidable prophecies that has to do with the coming of Jesus. He is referred to as Shiloh in this outstanding 10th verse, and it is referring, of course, to a blessing that Jacob or Israel gave upon the fourth son, Judah. You're aware of the fact that we're 12 sons, and in this 49th chapter we have the unfolding of the blessing that came upon them. Reuben and Simeon were not given the right to receive such a blessing. Levi, the third son, of course, was the son that had to do with the priesthood, because both Aaron and Moses came from that tribe. But when we come to the tribe of Judah, we have, as the Scripture says, a kingly tribe, and that scepter did not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Christ came, and then unto him should all the gathering of the people be. Christ, of course, eventually became the King of Kings and Lord of Lords after he had served upon this earth faithfully, following his Father, and doing all the things that God had in mind that he should do for the human family. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of man. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then we have the ascent of Christ from the grave. Wherefore God highly exalted him. He gave him a name which was above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that he is Lord, a King of kings, a Lord of lords. Truly to the grace, the glory, the power, we might say, and great praise to God the Father. So might we say, as we talk to you on the broadcast today, that here is a pivotal passage that is found in the Old Testament that shows once again how interesting it is and how valuable it is to study the Old Testament as well as the New. You know, sometimes your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ may be looked upon by people who view the Bible and saying, "Well, you don't talk enough about the Old Testament." Naturally, we're talking about those things that would have to do with man's salvation. And so, basically, we are dealing with the things that one must do to be born again, the things that one must do to worship God, and the things that are associated with a Christian life. Now, this doesn't mean there are not principles of truth that are found in the Old Testament. We look upon this as the Scripture teaches that the things that are written aforetime are written for our learning. And so we're attempting to learn, and we do touch upon many passages in the Old Testament, and I trust if you have the conception that we're not putting enough emphasis upon the Old Testament, that you'll stay with us and you'll find that many of the passages, many of the lessons are actually finding their beginning in the Old Testament Scripture. One of the things that's very interesting to me when I look at the tribe of Judah is to realize that in the numberings that we have in the book of Numbers, and there are two such numberings in that great book, that the tribe of Judah was considered to be the largest of any of the tribes in numbering. Now, I really can't tell you all the reasons for this, but I'm led to believe all the turbulence that took place in the Old Testament days of the kings and the prophets would indicate to us that God wanted these people to be definitely identified. For it was through this tribe of Judah that Jesus, or Shiloh, was to come. You're aware of the fact that when you get to the New Testament, the very first thing you read in Matthew's account of the gospel in chapter 1 is an outstanding list there, a genealogy
of those who were in that lineage, starting back with Abraham, who is looked upon as a father or a patriarch of the Jewish people, and coming on down to the time that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. A similar genealogy is also found in Luke's account of the gospel. What are we saying? We're simply saying that when God set in motion this wonderful plan, he did have a plan in mind that Jesus should come, taking upon him the form of flesh, and actually being of the tribe of Judah. As you read that genealogy in the first chapter of Matthew, you'll find in the midst of that is the mention of David, who we know as a king, and also Solomon, his son. They were of the tribe of Judah. And it's a wonderful thing when we get to the New Testament scripture and find that Jesus came in that manner, that he fulfilled all the things that God had in mind and eventually went back to heaven. That when the teaching came on the day of Pentecost, one of the great examples that was used by the Apostle Peter in that notable second chapter, and you can read that sermon in your own Bible, beginning with Acts 2 and 14, when you read it, you'll find that the preacher, Peter, who was an apostle on this day of Pentecost, actually quoted from the prophet Joel, and also from one he calls a prophet, David, who was naturally of this tribe of Judah. The thing that he stated about David is that David's sepulcher was nearby, and truly of the fruit of the loins of the tribe of Judah did Jesus come forth in the form of flesh. When you look at the Bible in the New Testament also, you find that the Apostle Paul has given us some marvelous teaching on this subject regarding the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And one thing that I want to center on is the salutation that is found in the Roman Epistle. I think in one of the past broadcasts we did definitely deal with this, but I want you to listen to what Paul says now in Romans 1 and 3 as he is introducing the Roman Epistle. He said, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. It's a wonderful thing to realize that you can trace that lineage clear down through the Old Testament. And when you're looking at it and you come to the book of Esther, you stop and think that probably one of the reasons that the book of Esther is found in the Old Testament and why we find it actually in our record of the Bible is that in that wonderful writing, we have a threat, a serious threat, to the breaking of this bloodline when the wicked Haman was going to wipe out all the Jews that were found in that country. And yet we're aware of the fact that the famous queen went before her husband saying, if I perish, I perish, and did offer a great plea for her people. The Jews were given arms to protect themselves, and so God was with them, and this tribe of Judah remained intact. During the turbulence of the divided kingdom, when we had the 10 tribes going into the kingdom of Israel, being known as the kingdom of Israel, and going far to the north in Palestine, and the 2-tribe kingdom, being known as the kingdom of Judah, remaining in the vicinity of Jerusalem and Bethlehem, that we have the 2-tribe kingdom being known as the kingdom of Judah. So all the way through the Old Testament, you can identify in a very definite manner this tribe through which Jesus came. Now, what does this mean to us as we begin to unfold the marvelous picture of God's Word? It means something wonderful because one of the great powers of the prophetic teaching is that it proves to us the validity and the authenticity of the Word of God. I've told people all over the country, and I believe this from the depths of my heart, friends, that one of the best ways to prove that the Bible is genuine, one of the best ways to prove that the teaching that is associated with both the Old and New Testaments are in perfect harmony is to make an intense study of the prophets. Now, we don't have to go into the dark recesses of the prophet's mind. We don't have to consider all the prophecies, some being rather remotely expressed and perhaps fulfilled, because Jesus did fulfill all the things that were said of him. But we can take those prophecies, just like the one we're talking about on the broadcast today, and we can see how true these things over the hundreds of years came to pass. So as you sit in your home, or if you're driving down the road today, wherever you might be, as you think with us in this study from God's Word, keep in mind that we're talking about something that was uttered many, many centuries ago. And we have it coming down to us in a very wonderful fashion now in letting us know truly what God has in mind. So how does this affect you and how does this affect me? You realize as you listen to the broadcast today that truly there has to be more beyond this life than just what we see here. Man cannot be looked upon as being like the proverbial limb of the tree, that when it is stricken down and falls to the ground, that it just becomes a dead stick. There is a future for man, just as we understand the works of nature would teach us that at a time when nature seems to be dormant, in the winter time when the trees do not have their leaves, when it would seem that bushes and shrubs are dead, yet we know because of our experience that when the beautiful days of springtime and summer come, that those trees and bushes that seem to be dormant will now be very fruitful. So it is with our life that we live here upon this earth. But might I say to you, as we think of this great prophecy, that our life here day by day upon this earth is not all that there is to life. Just as Jesus taught that he was the way, the truth, and the life, we understand we can't think of his life just being the 30-some years that he was here upon earth. So I want to leave Genesis 49 and 10 with you. Why don't you go back and read it? And keep in mind as you read other parts of the Bible that they all harmonize perfectly, that the scepter did not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, but Jesus came in the manner that was prophesied. If you do have questions, we remind you again as we begin this precious passage series, feel free to send them in. Listen for the time of services of the Church of Christ that brings you this broadcast, and if you have questions, send either to that congregation or to the station that's sponsoring or that's presenting this broadcast today. Be with us next time and help us look at the Word of God and apply it to your life as we have tried to apply it to ours. May God bless us all as we obey his marvelous and wonderful will.